We're back. Welcome back, football mezzanine fans. This is Shriekar, Anch, and Tristan, myself, coming at you live from our bedroom. On this upcoming episode, we are going to be doing starting off with the Premier League roundup. We're going to then move on to a deep dive into the Ballon d'Or, which the results got released, and we're going to do a little bit of analysis on that. And then finally, we're going to finish off the podcast with the our stupid stories of the week. And Anch, why don't you take it away?
Yeah, it's going to be our debut of that segment, Stupid Stories of the Week. We're looking to do it more often, because Tristan always has some of those lined up, and I think you guys will find it pretty funny. And then we'll also end off with our awards of the week, the Golden Dude of the Week and the Disgrace of the Week, brought to you by Gary Neville. And thanks for joining us, and let's start with the Premier League. What a weekend, man.
Big weekend. Three derbies on the same day. Crazy stuff.
It was the best Premier League weekend so far.
Yeah, 100%.
It was so good.
100%.
Fucking Liverpool fan. If we were sitting here with an Everton fan, I guarantee he'd be like, what a fucking shit day. oh my god.
Derby weekend's always amazing. And when you get three on the same day, it's even better. So we had two London derbies and the Merseyside derby to, you know, dig our heels into. Where should we start, boys?
Okay, you know what? I'm going to make you wait, Shrikar. Let's start with the North London derby.
Yeah, I want to start on that one.
All right.
So,
what a game.
I mean, comeback from Arsenal. What was going on? Like,
well, two comebacks. Arsenal led, and then Spurs came back, and then Arsenal led again.
Let me just start off honestly, by saying I'm very pleased with this result.
Of course you are, Tristan. Of course you are.
Chelsea needed that.
I don't know if it shows the Chelsea crest beside your name, but he's saying that as a Chelsea scum.
Chelsea scum. Rent boys.
Rent boys. Arsenal having one hell of a game on this one. And Tottenham.
What a game. Short. Just the best game of football I've seen this season, man. No doubt. It was just, it had everything.
Yeah.
I swear, I haven't seen a derby so fierce in such a long time.
I know, right?
And I think a few of the players got nothing on this game.
Like, a few of the players came out and said that, you know, derby should be like this, you know, fierce, proper rivals. And I mean, the hate between the two sides is immense.
When Eric Dier did the I was like, okay, this is it. This is when it all kicks off.
And then that huge fight broke out after. Oh, man.
Yeah. And then he told Ramsey to go sit back down on the bench. And then he came on and scored. So, not scored, assisted. Yeah. But
you know what? Last year, maybe 2 years ago, I wouldn't see Arsenal, if they went 2-1 down in the derby, I wouldn't see them come back to win it. No chance.
Dude, even when this game, when they went 2-1 down, I was like, I could see Spurs winning this game. Because I just got reminded of their last game at Chelsea, and I was like, this is a very good team under Pochettino.
Right.
And I could have seen them winning it. But what a fierce comeback by Arsenal. It's like Emery's given them this, like, belief that they're really good enough.
They are good enough. The quality. They haven't had it between years and past years, and we see an entirely different side this season. And they didn't lack the quality in the prior years, but it's just been a total change just with the coaching switch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly, it's been pretty much everything Arsenal fans could have hoped for. And more.
Yeah, and
like, despite the fact that they're fourth, I think they're absolutely loving this guy right now.
I mean, this is just slightly off topic, but I hope that they actually continue to invest in their club and don't kind of recede on just like, oh, we have a good enough team, let's keep the funds low. Like, actually put a bit of money into it, keep it going, so they can kind of keep this momentum into upcoming years. But back,
that's actually a really good point.
But back to the game.
I think they are going to be, because new manager, new era at the club. It's only fitting to, you know, start afresh, kind of.
It was a great start, too. Absolutely great start. Yeah. I thought it was going to take them a year or 2 years to really make a big change. And, I mean, instant change, which I didn't see coming. Well, I honestly didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I hate to be, like, the devil's advocate, but it is still, like,
it's early days. It's not early days, but
It's been amazing so far, and we can't take away anything from them. And they took the lead. They took the lead early.
Yep.
And then Spurs, just out of nowhere, they started to get in the game, and then they took two chances out of nowhere. Harry Kane, Nerves of Steel penalty.
Yep.
And then, what was the second? Oh, Eric Dier was the first goal, and then Harry Kane scored the penalty. The
penalty also kind of controversial, because Son did dive. Like,
It was hard to tell when I was watching the game. Because when they showed the replays on Sky Sports, is fucking garbage sometimes, because they only show you one replay.
True.
And then either Carragher or Neville's like, yeah, clear penalty. Because it was against Arsenal, and they love ripping on Arsenal. So it's like, yeah, penalty. And I just kind of believed them. But then, yeah, it wasn't actually a penalty. It was a dive. But Arsenal got their due revenge. Emery made two changes at halftime. When would Wenger have ever done that?
No chance.
Yeah.
No ever. Chance.
He would have never done that. Like, not even, like, one change. He changes two people. Brings off Iwobi. Brings off... I forget who. Someone else.
Mkhitaryan. And then he brings on... Mkhitaryan and Mustafi came off.
Mm.
And,
That's quite the tactic shift.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it paid off so well. I thought Lacazette should have started the game, but, like, thank goodness he brought him on.
Who knows? Maybe he just wanted, like, the fresh pair of legs, a nice speedy, fresh pair of legs to just, like, once everyone's tired, to really blow by them, right?
But he brought it on halftime, which is, like, it's clearly, like, something tactical.
And yeah.
He immediately recognized that Spurs were going to get back into the game, and he didn't wait to change things. He just changed things, and they worked. Seems like everything he touches turns to gold right now. You know?
The same can be said for Aubameyang. Man's on fire in the Premier League right now.
He's on fire, yeah.
He's probably the most informed player.
I'll be honest, when he scored that equalizer, I was like... most informed,
but he's definitely up there.
Okay, if you just disregard the City
side.
Who's
more informed, though?
I don't know. Hazard's been pretty on fire. And even take him away. I mean, pick someone from Man City, right?
Right.
If you pick someone from Liverpool, I mean, just even Shaqiri on Liverpool has been great, right?
Yeah, but
he's been a bargain Coutinho.
Alba's definitely been more than Shaqiri. But go talk to anyone on r/fantasypl, and they'll tell you they're not happy with Hazard. I'd say Aubameyang's been—he's on 10 goals already this season.
Yeah.
In
13
games or something. 14 games.
Probably hasn't played one game too, so yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know where to begin with this Arsenal team. Although we've already begun. We're way past beginning.
They're building something. I can sense it.
They're I can't recognize this Arsenal team, man. They're the same players, yet they're playing so good. You know, Granit Xhaka, Mustafi, Bellerin, all these players that were criticized no tomorrow last season.
They've got a good team. It was just between their ears.
Yeah, it was just what were they lacking? Just the confidence.
Honestly, it's the same thing with Man United. Quality's there, not between the ears though, and that's why they're playing.
That's true.
They're playing the mid-table club game.
Yeah, that's completely true. That's what are United.
And we're gonna get to the next game later on, but one thing I wanted to make about this was a crucial win for Arsenal. And Chelsea, but for Arsenal, they jump up to fourth as a result. Push Tottenham actually back down to fifth now, just on goal differential, the only reason why. But it just shows how tight of a race it is. And I mean, even between second and third, it's still close, but a little bit more of a gap. But only 5 points difference. But this was a crucial one. And now they're going to go to an easy game in the next one when they face Man United. So.
Oh man, I didn't see that coming.
You think Jose will be sacked if they beat them?
No.
I think so. No. I hope so for United. No, fans
they're
not.
They can't afford to sack him right now. They're going to almost have to take a bite on the
Southampton
bullet. If they don't do Mark well this Hughes? Season, as long as he doesn't get to relegation zone, I think they won't sack him until the end of the season.
Dude, listen. Southampton paid Mark Hughes $6 million to sack him. £6 million just to sack
him. I honestly think
6 months into a 3-year contract.
Yeah, but Mourinho's probably going to be, his buyout's going to be larger than that. I think Chelsea paid him almost $20 million when they got rid of him.
Yeah, but look at the budget difference between Southampton and Man United. It's exponential. It's not even you multiply by something.
What I'm really getting at is if they lose to Arsenal, I don't think that'll be the nail in the coffin. I think it'll be another game later on, if anything.
Which is so stupid. I think that sucks because the board are making a bad decision. I think he should go if they want any chance.
I'm not even sure. Unless they have a suitable option, I don't even think it would make a difference right now.
David Moyes is free.
The return.
And the recent string of form hasn't been too bad, though, as far as game-wise. No, it was really bad in the beginning, but it's not as bad now. I mean, a draw against Southampton. You have 1-0 against Young Boys, 0-0 Crystal Palace. I mean, Man City was understandable. They beat Juventus. They beat Bournemouth. They beat Everton.
That was before the international break.
I know, but what I'm saying is, it hasn't been atrocious. I still don't think
I mean, if it were any more atrocious, he'd be gone by now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I honestly don't think right now, let it ride, see where it goes kind of thing.
You know, I guess being a Chelsea fan lowers people's expectations.
Yeah. Okay, so it's one of those episodes where we're taking shots at each other. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
I guess so. I mean, I'm ready. Being a City fan, I know I got plenty coming, but I'm ready. It can't be about the team.
No, yeah, we'll just have to hit on
other stuff.
Let's
move on to the Merseyside Derby. We're only 11 minutes in, and Premier League should be 30 minutes long, guys.
Yep, well,
oops.
We're sticking to our deadline, so we'll just have to crunch the other teams in 1 minute.
Where do I start with this game? Where do I start? Oh, my God.
Start with the end.
The only thing that mattered in this game was the end, because everything else up to then was just pure shite. Okay, it wasn't pure shite. It was a pretty good game. It was probably the best derby game. The most contested derby game in recent memory.
Are you talking Liverpool-Everton? Have we moved on to that?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we just said... Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just thinking up comeback to try and attack Ange.
Well, think faster.
Well, could have just said FFP, mate.
It's hard with Man City.
That's all you needed.
Well, all right. Anyway, let's. But
dude, what the absolute
that Origi goal at the end? What the hell went on there?
Wait, dude, about the Origi goal, Tristan? Oh, I didn't know we were talking about that.
Oof.
Oh, I thought we were talking about something else.
Roasts.
Sorry, I'm just being a complete dick right now.
I honestly didn't even know what you were talking about, so. But
I don't know if that's a roast back or not, but let's talk about the fucking goal, because that goal was the most bizarre shit I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, so for anyone who hasn't seen it, just, you know, go check it out. It's worth watching. It's just,
dude.
It goes, hits the crossbar, bounces up, then what, hits the crossbar again, and then bounces
Jordan
over.
Pickford,
and then Origi just heads it in. It was absurd and very weird. 96 minutes too.
It's probably the closest I've been to being in pure shock in my entire life.
Dude, I was close to just shutting off my stream. My hands were on Command W to close my tab when Van Dijk hit that wayward assist. I guess it is an assist. Crazy as it sounds.
It's an assist.
Oh my God.
I mean, this isn't the win you wanted, but it's at least a win.
Hey, no.
No, it's calculated.
See, against any other team, I'd like to, you know, beat them, comfortably, but against Everton, any day I'd take, a shithouse goal at the very end. Any day.
Hey, it's better than nothing.
No, it's the best feeling, bro. I 3-0 would be just, I'd feel sorry for them, but this goal, oh, man. They deserve the win, bro. They 100% deserve the win this game.
They played so well.
They played so
Andre Gomez was so good.
Allison was on fire, too. Allison made some key saves.
That goal line clearance between Allison and Gomez, that gave me, David Luiz vibes.
Oh, yeah. David
Luiz. You know?
No, and also, Allison actually had a good, a pretty important part to play in the goal, because he was the one who signaled Trent to... He essentially passed the ball to Trent from the free kick, because Trent had a shitty angle, but he came up to the pitch and widened the angle so that the cross could have went in easier. So
all right, I think you're sucking his thing a little bit too much now. You can stop.
Nah.
I think we're over this game. 1-0 Liverpool.
Nah.
We're not over this
we're
game.
We're not over this game.
Just no one it, don't cares okay. anyways.
Tristan's like, fuck this. Tristan's like, oh my God, we won, guys. It's okay. Your derby is meaningless, mate. It's Fulham.
Oh, relax. Yeah, Fulham, yeah.
It's not even a derby. It's
I
like,
don't even talk about that one either.
I can't believe you guys have put in so many shit performances this season. Dude, you're still 2 points behind us.
Dude, we've it's actually like, played, like, ass some games. I don't know how.
The thing is, though, that even if it goes to a tie points, the goal differential is so huge, I mean, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, I swear, yeah. If you guys end up winning the league, I fucking shit.
You're already five goal differential behind. Like, Liverpool is behind Man City by that much, I mean. Or, not five, sorry, 15, yeah. And 15, it's just yeah. The, but, it's still relatively yeah, the like, beginning of the season.
If they finish, like, a point above us, I'd be like, come on. Yeah. Conversely, so much better.
Hey, for me to call it, I need Liverpool to win it this year.
True.
I need to keep my streak.
Dude, it's just... I thought this was finally the game that they would drop off, but they're not dropping off, and it's pissing me off. And then we're playing Chelsea on Sunday, true. So I'm kind of scared
now. We could
now.
Take first spot. This
fucking ridiculous.
Dude, it's the best start Liverpool have had to a season, and we're second in the league. Like, why?
I think Chelsea's going to have a bit of trouble with Man City on that one, honestly.
No, it depends. If Sarri adopts a more defensive style, we'll have to see. It might be a repeat of Liverpool.
I don't think
City.
Sarri's ever adopted a defensive style. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen
there's
that.
There's also that, true.
Yeah, true. They're also still not entirely confident in the system, and it's still in a work in progress. So it'll be interesting to see if he plays a more defensive situation or if he continues to try and do the offensive. I honestly think it's probably going to be the latter, where he continues to try and play like an offensive style. I think the smarter move technically would be playing the defensive style, but I think everyone wants to play the offensive style, and if you want to transition from like having to go back to that defensive on better teams to the offensive, then you need to get used to it. And you know what, maybe take a loss where you might lose a little bit more, but in the long run it might pay off.
I don't know, man. The best teams who have, like, the teams who have done the best against City this season have been teams who have played offensive against them. Every team that's sat back has gotten beat, like, 6-0.
Except for Lyon.
But every team that's attacked them. No, so Lyon didn't sit back. That's what I'm saying. They attacked.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so maybe attack is the form. As a City fan, I'd say attack is the best form to get at us, because we leave a lot of spaces. Because, like, you know, obviously we have like six attackers on the field. If you go for it, and if you try to break our lines, even once, if you get through, you'll be like 1-on-1. So I think attacking is the best chance of beating us.
I don't know, that'll be an interesting one regardless. Yeah, we should move on.
I guess
for
we can move
sake.
On to Chelsea Fulham then. Yeah. Yeah. So really a comfortable derby. A lot of people were like, "Oh, Schürrle's gonna score against Chelsea." But he's been proper garbage, just like the rest of the Fulham team.
He hasn't. Yeah. I haven't seen him really play particularly well for a while now.
Yeah.
Didn't he have a couple of spells in Germany, I think, for
Yeah, Wolfsburg. That was the last that I saw that he had a little bit of his good spell. But
I know he had a good game in Brazil for Germany, and then he, like, won the World Cup or some shit. But after that, I haven't seen too much of him.
But yeah, so that game we had Pedro scoring in the 4th minute and Loftus-Cheek in the 82nd. I mean, he's been great for them.
He's coming back.
As far as...
Yeah, he's coming back into the fold.
Yeah, I honestly think they're going to might have to transition him to a more consistent role in next season kind of thing, the way he's been playing.
So who would you take out of the team, though?
Fabregas. I like Fabregas.
He's not even playing, though.
I think he's...
Fabregas isn't even playing, though.
Yeah, but I mean, at least it frees up a spot, though, right?
Like, I'd say he's even ahead of Fabregas right now in the team.
The problem is Chelsea has too many midfields in the center now at this point, and too many options, which, I mean, was weird because last year we were struggling a little bit, right? So, But yeah, I mean, you have Barkley, you've got Conte and Jorginho. Those are kind of like... three consistent ones in the middle. I mean, with Loftus-Cheek, that gives a nice rotation, and then I'm sure I'm even missing someone too, if I can.
Kovacic.
Yeah, there's another. But
Kovacic's on loan, right?
He's alone, and I know Chelsea are asking him, like, do you want to stay? Because we'd like to get you, because he's doing well there, and he's happy, so, but it's very far off, so I'm not even going to touch that.
Yeah. But, yeah, you're right, they do have a lot of mids.
My only complaint right now is that Christensen's not getting... more game time. Yeah, I mean, he's barely played, and when he has, it's been like maybe like Europa League games or something like that. And I don't know if Sarri just doesn't have enough confidence in him, or maybe he's just not doing well in training, so he's not getting that as a result. But I think he's a great defenseman, and I would like to see him probably take over from Cahill, if anything, or at least then it moves him up a spot where he's getting more consistent game time.
Yeah, I think Sarri prefers all his players to be very, very good on the ball, which is why he keeps playing David Luiz and Rudiger.
Yep.
So I don't know how good Christensen is on the ball, so maybe that's his weakness.
My biggest thing is I just don't want to lose him because he's still young. He's going to be good. And what, I mean, Luiz is getting up there now too, right? You have Cahill that's rumored to be gone almost in January, or at the very least I would be surprised if he stays after the next upcoming summer. So, I mean,
yeah, I think he's
I don't want Christensen to leave, and then we have to pay money just to get another equivalent defender back there.
Yeah,
that's my biggest thing.
Yeah, but that usually ends up happening with, like, top clubs. They just pay over the odds for some. You guys can get Mangala, though. He's free.
He's in our top club quality. For some reason.
No thanks.
We played $50 million for him, man.
Oh, you guys have a habit of paying really high amounts for defensemen.
Yeah, we do, and we finally got it right. Yeah. But it took us a lot of money.
Yeah.
How much you guys a lot of Stones for 50?
Stones was 50. Yeah.
Emerick Laporte Stones was more than that.
Emmerich was 55.
Mangala was up close to Stones' price, wasn't he? And that was a long time ago, too.
I think Mangala was like 49.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. They way overpaid for him.
Yeah, Van Dijk looks like a bargain. Not bad.
I remember when we got Mangala, we're like, Company and Mangala are going to be the rocks of the future. Oh, man. That didn't age well. But it looks like Stones and Laporte are going to be our center back partnership for a while now. They look so solid.
Laporte has been someone I've been watching for years now, and I mean, it took a while. I was surprised actually he didn't move earlier, but I think he's going to be great for you guys.
He is, yeah. He's been fantastic so far. He just doesn't get the French call up for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know.
Deschamps calls up freaking Mamadou Sakho ahead of.
No, Laporte. Isn't there some sort of controversy with him and Spain and France? Or is he?
No, it's just
he can play for either. Like, I don't know if he's been officially and like chosen either of them yet. But
I think he's chosen France for sure.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning.
I think
that.
The only thing that kept popping up was like apparently his coaches call him like a loner or something, where he doesn't spend too much time with the rest of the team. So that's why Deschamps is like, I don't want to bring him into the national team.
Yo, man needs to spend some time with Mendy, bro.
Like, he's doing fine at City. He looks like he's definitely part of the group. He looks like a leader, honestly.
Yeah, hey, so you know what? Maybe he's just more independent. I don't know.
But, like, he's such a good
player. Yeah, that's the thing. It doesn't really matter, I guess, if you get along with the team. It's not like there's any, like, bad blood and you play well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, hey, they won the World Cup, though, so can't really say too much, right? So we got 7 minutes left. We should move on to the mid-table matchup. Man United against Southampton, and I'm really disappointed here. I really think that Southampton should have beat that mid-table team.
Oh yeah, they were up 2-0 too. Like,
it's just disappointing.
Like, going crazy on text.
Dude, this is what Mark Hughes gets for failing to beat such an easy team.
He was sacked in
just,
the morning.
Okay, I just sacked. Take in the fact for a second that United drew with Southampton. And Mourinho didn't get sacked, but Hughes did get sacked. It's just...
To be completely fair, though, if we're actually going to start being serious, I mean, Southampton is 18th in the table with one point away from 20th.
To be fair, United is 7th in the table with, like, Leicester behind them and Watford ahead of them, I think.
No. It's Watford's below them as well. It's only Everton, Tottenham, and then you have the top four that we know.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Yeah.
They were ahead of them at one point. But it's just ridiculous how badly they're doing, but people... they still try to think that it's not Mourinho's fault, but it's somehow, like, everyone else's fault that they're doing poorly. And that's one of Mourinho's greatest strengths. He's made people believe that he's taken over a squad that's so shit that they're going to finish 7th with the players that they have.
Yeah, he always... he always bitches about how, like, the team needs to buy more, invest more, and support him. And, I mean, he has the quality there. He should be able to do something with it. A huge part of it, I think, is completely the way he kind of manages. I think with some teams, some players, they love him, and his management style works well with them. But I think he unfortunately got a few players that just personalities clash, and unfortunately one of them is Paul Pogba. And when you have players like that who are basically what your team is built around, you're going to have shit results as a result of that. And I think, yeah, right now it's the same thing with Man U. It's between the ears. That's the reason why they're in seventh.
Reports came out this week that apparently Mourinho called Pogba a virus in the dressing room,
yeah,
in front of all the other teammates.
I remember, like, hearing that too. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But yeah, that's the story going around.
Just like,
yo, did United have an antivirus sponsor?
Cheeky,
like. I have a feeling.
Jump in on that.
If any club has an antivirus sponsor, it has to be them, because they have a freaking tractor sponsor, for God's sakes. Like, tractors, really, guys?
Oh my God. Avast.
McAfee. <Anyway.
laughs> McAfee.
Yo, Mourinho's gonna, like, the press conference is just gonna be with McAfee. If that deal goes through, I would love to see Mourinho, like, you know, smiling, holding up that shirt. Memes potential with that would be amazing.
Did you see Mourinho's photo shoot at a watch company last week?
No.
Where, what? Okay, I forget the company, but this watch company released a watch called the Special One, and he was the model for it. If you guys haven't seen that, search it up. Special One watch.
I'm gonna have to.
It's absolutely hilarious. And he just, like, did it between like their Crystal Palace game and, like, their last game, Southampton. I'm like, what is going on at this club? And then you have, like, Pogba playing COD on Instagram. And it's just, it's a complete joke.
Speaking
right now.
Speaking of COD, Neymar and, Thiago and one other person from PSG are going to do, like, a live stream of COD. And I think, I don't know if they're getting sponsored by Call of Duty or what's going on, but I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, Lingard, Trent, and Gomez also did the similar thing in the UK.
Yeah.
With COD.
Wasn't that for Fallout?
Was it Fallout? I think it was COD, bro.
Oh, Fallout's getting
bad rap. I know
Walker
did something for Fallout.
Fallout's getting huge bad rap and publicity lately. But let's jump back to this game. You have Southampton going up 2-0 by the 20th minute. And then you see Man U come back just before the first half ends to tie it 2-2. And then from there, it's just a 2-2 draw. Did you guys have any thoughts about this game?
Yeah, did you guys see Lukaku's first touch?
Oh, stop. It hurts. Even though I'm a City fan, it hurts. It's like just seeing a person do that to himself.
He needed medical attention.
He's completely
since his
lost
first
it.
Touch was so shit. Man tripped over his own touch.
I was watching a video of him at Everton yesterday. I was just like, he's so different now. It's ridiculous. It sucks. It honestly sucks. It's the entire situation is horrible. And I have nothing else to say except Mourinho should be gone if they want to save their face right now. Look at what happened when Wenger was gone. People were skeptical, but it worked out. Just do it.
Bro, who's going to come in? Eddie Howe? He's not going to leave Bournemouth. They're, like, above them in the table. Almost.
There's enough candidates out there that if they look hard enough, they can come up with someone who's a little bit more optimistic and a little bit young and fresh.
Ronald Koeman. Like,
he's
yeah, I know. He's Netherlands, team. But... I honestly think he's gonna be a great coach at one point. I thought he was gonna go for big things, and then he kind of hit that rough area, that rough patch, and then kind of took a sabbatical and then went to Netherlands. But I still think he's gonna make his way at one point.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got a minute left on this.
Let's cover the most surprising result of the weekend.
Okay.
Man City win.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Lol. Yo, Bernardo Silva came through on his promise. He promised the Copa 90 guys.
Have a nice.
He actually did it. Madman.
I was waiting for him to do it, and he did it, and I fucking loved it. He did it so well, too.
He's a little jump, and, you know, it's perfect.
Do you see his video with the chicken shop date?
Yeah, hey guys, oh my God.
40 seconds.
Oh, God. Okay, was, you know, it was so funny, though, because, like, she was trying to make it super awkward.
I know.
But he was making it awkward for her, too. He's a great guy. If you guys haven't seen it, search up Bernardo Silva Chicken Shop Date. Great video.
Blast.
But I think that's our buzzer.
Yeah, we got like 18 seconds Premier League left. But
for me, it's already past it.
Yeah, we can start to make our intro into the next one, which should be our deep dive, right?
Yes. So as you guys know, Luka Modric won the Ballon d'Or, and we're going to be doing our deep dive this week on that story.
On the Ballon d'Or, not Luka Modric specifically winning it, but we will tie that in.
Aren't we? I thought we're doing it.
I guess fair enough. It's not the whole Ballon d'Or throughout the years. It's more this year specifically, but it goes into a little bit grandeur. Anyways, yeah. So
this Ballon d'Or was significant because it finally ends that era of dominance by Messi and Ronaldo. Like each of them, 5-5. It's been a crazy one for them.
Which I don't think it should have ended, but it did.
Oh, yeah. See, I disagree question with you there, though.
Question for you guys, though. Do you think they'll ever win it again, any of them?
Yeah.
Or is this it?
I can see it happening. I wouldn't be surprised if you get another one next year.
I don't think Messi's going to win it again, but I think Ronaldo definitely could.
See,
Messi is younger, though.
Yeah, but it's been interesting, though, because remember when we did the Messi-Ronaldo retirement football mezzanine heritage video? For anyone who hadn't seen that, go check that video out. But if you looked at the stats there, Messi was actually kind of like going downhill a little bit as the years got by, whereas Ronaldo was actually going and like getting better as the years got by. As he got older, he was getting better, whereas Messi kind of like peaked young and then it's kind of been declining. So if that trend stays true, I wouldn't be surprised that Messi doesn't get it again and you see maybe Ronaldo win it one more time or something.
Well, if you look at the stats over the past just 2 years, they have been pretty much equal. If not, Messi's stats in La Liga have been a bit better this season than Ronaldo's stats in Serie A. It's just the thing that's interesting that kind of is a little bit annoying to me is how certain competitions get way more weight for like Ballon d'Ors than others. For example, if you have a good run of games in the World Cup, you're pretty much guaranteed to win it over this other person who's had like a consistent 30-game season in La Liga.
So
like, what do you guys think of that?
Yeah, so when I was reading through this, and I've noticed in past years as well, is that there's two ways to think of it. You can either put more weight on the World Cup or you can put more weight on the season. And what I've noticed, and hopefully other people have as well, is that the World Cup does get a lot more weight than the season, which to me is odd when you think about it, that there's many more games throughout the season, whereas the World Cup is a shorter span. I mean, you can argue the caliber is basically the same when you're playing Champions League and like top teams. I mean, it's the same thing as at the World Cup as well. It's just more of a short, compressed situation. And all you have to do is, my thinking is that if you have, say, a good World Cup where you're slightly lucky, where you tend to play better than you normally do, now you have, this is going to carry you further than the whole season. When the season is about consistency, you have to continually play well throughout the whole season. It's much harder to do that. And in my mind, personally, I think more weight should be thrown towards the season than the World Cup. I think the World Cup obviously takes a big factor in, but I think the season should take more weight as a result. But you don't see that from what I've noticed with just even the point systems. And it doesn't take much to look at the top 10 here, where you have Modric on the first, you have Ronaldo second, but then you have Griezmann rounding out third and Mbappe fourth. And Mbappe's been great and everything, but Griezmann on third place I think is a little high. And I think it's because of the World Cup. The fact that I feel like
Salah should have been there.
I'm very surprised Salah was not higher up. And honestly, I mean, you take away the World Cup, and that's probably why he didn't get so many. But he should definitely have been top three this year, I think. Just based off the season, top three for sure. And, I mean, you also have to count in World Cup. Some players are on shit teams. He's not on a France squad.
I completely agree. I don't disagree, but what someone who's playing devil's advocate might say is, okay, but the World Cup has way more pressure And the really, really big players, if they can really handle that pressure and perform well, then they deserve
to win that biggest prize. You get into the Champions League finals, though, too, for example, right?
It's different, though. World Cup is still bigger than the Champions
League. Yeah, I feel like it is, but I don't think the weight is worth that much, though.
No, Ange, because Salah took a very average Egypt side and got them to the World Cup finals itself, and that itself was an achievement for him. So if you're looking at the World Cup as a picture, I feel like we should weight the player with the country's ranking and how far they made it to the stage, right?
Yeah,
like sure, France is amazing, and France made the France won the World Cup, right? That's great, but Egypt is shit, but they still made it to the World Cup finals, which like so many other countries didn't, right?
And that's a really
so
nice.
So I feel like if the
go ahead, sorry, Trigger.
No, I just feel like if they're looking at the World Cup, they should look at the bigger picture of the World Cup itself rather than just you know who won it or who came second.
And I was
I was just going to say
a really nice segment into basically whether Modric should win or not. And just building off of what Srikar said, Modric was on Croatia, who should have never made the finals. But the fact that he was such a big pivotal role in bringing that, not to mention he also then helped Real Madrid all the way to their third Champions League win in a row. I think there's no argument as far as whether Modric should have won over anyone else. I personally, my mind, the fact that he is basically almost 300 points higher than second place on Ronaldo really proves that point.
I think that's the opposite of what I think, because the fact that he's 300 points ahead makes it even more ridiculous for me, because he was not 300 points better than Ronaldo. He was not that much better than Messi. I'd say Messi had a better season than Griezmann. I'd say he had a better season than Mbappe.
You have to remember, Modric is not a forward, though, too. You can't expect the same amount of goals,
right?
No,
I'm not going off goals. I'm not going off assists. I'm going off general play. And in terms of player...
How much of La Liga did you watch, though?
I watched a lot of Messi games. I watched a lot of Champions League games. And if you're talking about, again, big World Cup impact games, I watched every Champions League game. So I'm not skewing my data or anything, but I'm saying if someone is to vote today in today's climate, they're going to vote based off what everyone is talking about. And what everyone is talking about on social media is the winners of the Champions League and the winners of the World Cup. And the people who don't get noticed are the people who didn't win it, even though they had better seasons.
So that kind of brings us into our another topic that we were kind of discussing. Ange, do you want to describe a little bit more the social media topic you're mentioning?
Yeah.
Just kind of more in a form that everyone will understand.
So pretty much what I think is in today's climate of everyone being on social media and it pretty much taking over our lives, not in a deep, dark way or anything, but just like everyone's always on it. So you know what's happening all the time. And the fact that everywhere you go on social media now, you see like, oh my God, Luka Modric won this, Luka Modric did this. And everyone is kind of getting on that ball rolling of praising him. It's like it has like this effect where even people who weren't considering that before, seeing all this information coming towards them of, oh, this guy had an amazing year, this guy won this, this guy took his country there. Even though they might have a different opinion, at the end of the day, they might change their mind because of all that different, all those like influences they're getting from social media. And I think if social media wasn't as prevalent in people's lives as it is today, Luka Modric wouldn't be 300 points clear of Ronaldo.
But do you think he would still win is the question?
I personally don't think so. I don't think he deserved to win, but like obviously my opinion isn't that of everyone else.
So I guess we can kind of cut it down.
I think he was a good player.
I was going to say we can cut down basically your opinion to the reason he won is basically, and part of one of the issues I guess with the World Cup is you're saying that media attention, the more media attention you get, then the more kind of popularity you get, and then it builds up this persona where you are then far better.
And there's also
a
reason for getting more media attention too, other than the fact that he won the finals.
And so what
the other reason is because Messi and Ronaldo have been so consistently good for the past like decade that people have become so desensitized to it that it's not as much of a story anymore if they score another goal or if they win another game, because they've seen it all before.
But couldn't you
argue
that it
doesn't create that much social media attention?
Couldn't you argue
it creates more of a story if you say, oh, look at this, Modric is doing that well, could he be the first Ballon d'Or winner? And then that gets on everyone's heads.
What I'm saying is each year you've always had some sort of player that's maybe done a breakout year and done incredible things, but yet Ronaldo and Messi would win, and this has been 5 years for both of them prior to this year, right? So you could almost say that, well, that could have applied to prior years, and it didn't. I mean, Mbappe at, what, like 17?
Which is correct, though.
17, absolutely winning or scoring a shit ton of goals at his age, and then doing all kinds of other things. And, I mean, like, you could apply it there,
right? It's true. That's a fair point. But I think the fact that it didn't is good, and I think the fact that it did this year is maybe testament to the fact that the impact, like, we're all getting by, like, all the social media, that I think it's pretty much become like a social media contest now more than anything, than like people actually looking at like who had the objectively better season. You know, this player was actually amazing, but this player's always been better. So I think it's a little bit like people becoming desensitized to how good Ronaldo and Messi really are. So, like, Griezmann was not better than Messi.
Oh, well, you know what? I completely agree that Griezmann shouldn't round the top three. I personally think it should have been, like, Modric, probably Ronaldo and Salah in the top three. Mbappe's up there. Messi's up there. I don't think Griezmann should be. I'm also, to be completely candid, I have not watched enough of Atletico's games this season to really declare a standpoint on Griezmann's play, and he was fantastic in the World Cup, but I don't think the World Cup is a defining factor for whether someone should win or not. It obviously plays a big pivotal role, but whether it takes more weight than a season, I think the season should take more. But Shrikar, I'd like to hear your opinions, because Ansh and I kind of just been going back at it. Like, what do you think about the social media thing, about Modric winning, whether he should or shouldn't, and anything else, basically?
I definitely do think I agree with the decision that Modric deserved it this year. Because, I mean, he won the Champions League, he won the World Cup.
Yep.
And not saying that
you,
anybody who wins
the
Champions
win the World
League
Cup.
World Cup should
he
get
went
it.
To the finals.
I mean, sorry, finals, my bad.
Yeah.
But whoops. But that's like saying, Lovren made the Champions League final and Lovren made the World Cup final, so he should be up there as well. Like, I'm not saying that's the case.
He probably thinks so.
Fair, true.
He probably thinks so.
I mean, to be fair, there were only like four players who had that stat. Varane, Modric, who am I missing?
Lovren.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone else did.
I think that's about it.
It would have to be Croatia or France, right? And they would have to be on Real Madrid or Liverpool at that point. So.
Kovacic then.
Yep.
Kovacic
as well.
Oh, Kovacic.
Got him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But as you were saying.
I mean, so I definitely do agree with the fact that the decision was right in giving Luka Modric the award this year. Ronaldo second, I think that's also deserved. Griezmann, I do not agree with that. Mbappe fourth, maybe Mbappe should have been like fifth or sixth, and Salah should probably, based solely on his fantastic season, I mean, it was more than fantastic, he should have been third. And maybe I have a bit of Liverpool bias coming into this, but at least higher than sixth. I don't think Salah was deserving of sixth.
I think he should be third. I just think it's unfair for certain players, unfortunately. They get shafted. I mean, he's on Egypt. They're far from a contending team. So, of course, I mean, what is he going to do? Carry the whole team right to the end? I mean, at least Croatia had multiple players they could rely on.
And to be fair, he was also injured, mind you, because he had that Champions League final injury. So
yeah, that's as well true.
You never know. Maybe he could have made the knockouts, but... Going on to the social media aspect, I get where Ansh is coming from, but you again have to realize that this isn't... I know Ansh didn't say it's a fan vote, but social media, I don't think, has as much of an effect on the journalists and
the
players who...
Yeah,
and the players who do the voting for this itself.
The journalist's job is to publish those stories you see on social media.
It's true,
media,
but
so
they
I
need
think
to
it
be
does have an effect
more informed.
Because they need to get stories that have more clicks.
But
they need to be
more informed. It's only one journalist per country. As far as I remember, it's only one journalist per country selected by the FA, which often
isn't... Football is an Instagram game now.
It's not a clickbaity really type of journalist. You won't find someone from, like, fucking The Mirror or, like, Daily Mail... Who's making the decision for the country? Like, it'd be from like,
a
reputed source.
Then explain to me why Griezmann is third on that list. There's no other reason other than people hyping on his train, saying, "Oh, he was good for France because he won the World Cup, and he was good for Atletico." Like, I don't see it.
Yeah, Griezmann, I really don't. Yeah, I agree with you there. Griezmann, I don't know why or how he's here.
I honestly think it's because the players themselves really weight the World Cup highly. either that or the journalists. It was one of the two, but I think it's the players, and I think that's why. And you generally see it in World Cup years. People who do well in the World Cup get a lot more than they should. I'm worried saying that because, again, I would have to look through years and years upon it. But from what I remember, generally you get more. If you do well in the World Cup, you get more points than you would if it was more weighted on the season, basically.
Tell me how, like, Paul Pogba is above Aguero in that rating. Like, there's no other reason than the fact that France won the World Cup. Like, he was better than Aguero.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Season-wise, no. I mean, World Cup-wise, he was fantastic. But, yeah, season-wise, no. But it's like, but you also have to look at it, I guess, this way, too, is if people do weight the World Cup more, then why would they vote for Aguero season-wise when they can vote for someone like Salah season-wise or, like, Ronaldo season-wise, right?
Well, Salah is above Aguero. Salah is 6th.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Exactly, that's 16th. The point. Like, if someone's going to vote season-wise, they're going to vote for better players. If they're going to vote World Cup-wise, then you're going to vote for one of the winners, which Pogba was in. So it makes sense that he gets more points because the World Cup is weighted more, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, which, yeah, I find pretty bad. I still think people are, like, completely forgetting about Messi because he had one of his best years.
So who
again,
do you think should have won?
No, guys, no, historically, Ronaldo. I've just looked at the stats. Historically, there is preference given to the World Cup winners because if you see 2018, okay, cool. Modric made the final. 2014, Ronaldo, but probably just because Real Madrid were on, like, a fucking roll that season.
Yeah.
And Neuer came third and Germany won, right? So he's up there too. 2010, if we look at it, Lionel Messi made the final in South Africa. No, that's not true.
What? Nope.
No.
Nope.
That's not. Andres Iniesta's second. He scored the winning goal for Spain.
Yeah.
In 2010. 2006, Fabio Cannavaro, the Italian defenseman. Italy won the World Cup that year. Buffon came second. Henry came third.
It's true. It just happened.
What I am curious is who would you pick to win then? Like Messi or Ronaldo? Because you're obviously one of them, right?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think I'm sure about my winner, but the one thing I am sure about is it. I don't think Modric was 300 points better than them.
Yeah.
Like if.
But do you think he still would have won? Like say he won by one point. Do you think he would have still deserved the win over Ronaldo? Or Messi?
No, not for me.
No, you still think he shouldn't have won it?
No, not
for
me.
So my last question, I guess, because we're getting close to the end. We got about 3 minutes left. Is if you were, say, Ronaldo or Messi, you throw them up there, why them over Modric? Why was Modric not good enough in your opinion, more than anything, I guess?
It's not that he wasn't good enough. I just think that Ronaldo and Messi are...
were better.
Not humans, almost. They're just... They're freaks, man. Like, you go watch them, and every single game, they'll do something that's just out of this world, or they'll win you the game just because they're that good and there's nothing anyone can do about them. Whereas, like, Modric will never give the ball away. He will never, ever put your team in danger. He will always make positive passes.
Isn't that a good thing, though?
I'm not saying he doesn't need that, but I'm saying he's not going to pull the game out of the hat for you like Ronaldo and Messi do almost every game. You know, I just think they're on another level, whereas Modric is amazing. I'm just saying I don't think he's above that level.
Good.
It's just okay. I have nothing bad to say about Modric, so that's why I'm kind of struggling with this question. I just think Ronaldo and Messi are just on another level.
Because I look at it this way. Modric played consistently well throughout the whole season. He was a huge part in the reason why they've won triple back-to-back Champions League. But you can't take the two prior because, again, it's the current year. Right. So he was pivotal in this year. And then on top of that, he then has a phenomenal World Cup where he brings, with a couple of other players as well, Croatia to the finals, which is unreal. You tell me that at the beginning, I'd be like, no freaking way.
Look at it this way. Look at it this way. Kevin De Bruyne had an almost identical year to Modric, and he got to the semis of the World Cup, too.
I don't think he was as good throughout the year as Modric, though.
I definitely think so. If you watched, he was just like a couple of points behind Salah in that race for the Premier League's best
player. You also got to take into account, though, that they ultimately didn't. I mean, this plays a big part of it, and maybe your trophies shouldn't matter, technically. But, I mean, they didn't get to the Champions League final, whereas Real Madrid didn't.
That's what I'm
win.
Saying. Like, if you just imagine if De Bruyne got to the final, but then Modric, let's say, got out in the quarters, even though he had the same performance levels.
Maybe De Bruyne would be up in the top there. And that's actually another thing, another factor that we haven't really mentioned, is that trophies do play a big role in this, and whether someone gets up into the top as well as with how many trophies they win, and whether it should or not. Say you're the best player in the world.
Yeah, I think
on
that's
a
pretty much
that
all
won
that
anything.
We've been talking about. Hmm? Yeah, I think that's pretty much all we've been talking about, though, because if you win the World Cup, then you're higher in the rankings because you won that trophy.
I guess.
Even though you may have not been better than the teams
but
below you.
I was specifically making that mention because Modric didn't win the World Cup. I mean, in Champions League, they won, yes, but I mean, he didn't win the World Cup kind of thing. So you don't necessarily...
Yeah. He did get to the final, and like...
Why is Bale on this list?
Because he won the Champions League.
Yeah,
but he did fuck all the rest of the season. He scored 2 goals. That's it.
Yeah, it's that's what I'm saying.
Oh, like, guys, that ends it. We gotta cut this one short, unfortunately.
Like, true. How is Lloris on this list?
What the fuck? All right, so moving on to our final topic of the I was gonna say evening for us, but whatever time you're listening to that, and it's going to be our stupid stories of the week. And just before we get into,
actually, can I just quickly end off the Ballon d'Or segment?
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
We barely ended it. It's just, if you guys have any thoughts, feel free to leave it in the comments, because that was a pretty intense discussion. Like, let us know what you guys think of it. And yeah, that's all from us from the Ballon d'Or side.
Yeah. Yeah. Leave the comments. I mean, if you're on YouTube, that's probably the best way to get a hold of us or for us to see your comments. But yeah, moving on to the next segment, our stupid stories of the week. And before we get into that, I just want to mention Robin leaving Bayern at the end of the season. So that's kind of a big news. And Ribéry might potentially be following him. I don't think it's been confirmed yet as well, but there was some talk that he might as well. And going on from that to our first story. Oh, crap. We forgot to mention a couple other things for the Ballon d'Or, but... it's too late now. I was going to say Mbappe won the Copa trophy, the first one, the inaugural, for under-21 best player.
Oh, okay. Well, now we've mentioned it.
But anyways...
anyway.
And that ties well into our first stupid story. Because
first stupid story segment ever. Welcome. And, I guess it ties into our first story. Do you want to get into it,
Yeah,
Justin?
Kind of, I guess. Not directly related to Mbappe, but still the whole Ballon d'Or kind of scenario. God. So they had the first female Ballon d'Or winner this year, which was, I'm going to butcher this, but Hergerberg, which was from, which is a... plays on Lyon, and I guess they've won the Champions League like 3 years in a row now or something like that.
Damn.
And she wins, so she goes up on stage, and they have DJ Solveig, who I guess asks if she wants to twerk. And I don't know if this was kind of just like a language.
The man straight up asked her to twerk in the Ballon d'Or ceremony.
Like,
what the fuck?
Bro, it's not your club, my friend. It's...
Oh my god.
What an
idiot.
It's an award ceremony. It's not like one of those film award ceremonies. It's like a proper, like... sophisticated, legit award ceremony. And
oh my goodness.
The first thing he says, not even congratulations, would you like to twerk for us?
Oh my god.
So,
in a dress.
What a fucking thick.
So I don't know if this was just like lost in translation because English isn't his first language.
No, bro.
Or what went on there.
But no.
He said
twerk. Literally said.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is just because he meant dance. And actually, if you read on later,
No, he didn't.
I was reading some of the articles, and he mentions later that he actually meant to dance, and then he contacted her, apologizing, and she said, "Oh, like I never really took it as like sexist or like." Made anything of it kind of thing at the moment.
No,
so.
She wouldn't make anything of it now because she won it and she wouldn't want to.
Did you say Mbappe? Yeah, did you guys see Mbappe's face?
You should watch the video. Yeah, oh. Did you see Mbappe's reaction?
Mbappe was like, yo, this is like...
What is going on?
This is adult. Yo, I'm only a kid. 18 years old.
I'm not even legal yet.
Oh my god. Absolute idiot. It was so astonishing to see, honestly.
Yeah, so that made for some quite the publicity after, and media got pretty, Well, a bunch of fans got angry at him, and then I guess he took it to heart or made an apology after, whether it was, like, not truthful, but whether it was, like, you guys know what I'm saying, right?
Sincere.
Yeah, sincere, thank you.
Sincere.
Anyways,
yeah.
That is the first story, which brings us to a few other ones throughout the week, which I thought...
Maradona and the good stuff.
Oh, yes, Maradona.
Again.
So,
always.
He's Diego Maradona, the quite the... Just tracks a bunch of publicity for numerous reasons, but for this one, he was being interviewed by a couple of, I guess, analysts out for the Mexican League after... I think it was after a game. It might have been before.
Yeah, they lost a final. Yeah.
But anyways, they asked him if what he thought basically about the league, and then they go to give him the mic, and they basically just put it to him, and then all you hear is for a solid like about a minute where he's just like
Well, get to the part where he starts fighting.
Wait, what do you mean gets fighting?
Well, I thought that's what you're talking about. He gets into this huge fight.
Oh, no, I was just getting into the post-match interview. You have news that I don't.
Yeah, what is this news, Ange? I don't know this news either.
I thought, no, he tried to fight rival fans before.
Wait,
he shouted something like, your mom is a whore.
What?
That's what he said.
No.
Okay, he started to fight rival fans, and he had to be held back by bodyguards, and he just shouted a bunch of shit, and it was just crazy. He was definitely high, or maybe that's just his personality. Who knows?
I think it's his personality. He's pretty fiery, but...
It's just like, what kind of who would fucking hire him?
Well, I mean...
Anybody who wants publicity?
Yeah, I mean, it brings publicity, ultimately. What? No press is bad press?
Yeah.
Nope, some press is definitely bad press. Nope. I don't think that holds well in court.
But anyways, that is our
our
second stupid story of the week. And
so that man's off the rails, for sure.
Yeah,
he's definitely on something, too.
This next stupid story is quite a short one, but basically surrounds Chelsea coach Carlo Cudicini and his comments on Tottenham's pitch. And basically, to quote, he said, it's improved a bit, but the ends remain a potato field.
Says it as it is.
Well said.
Well said, mate.
And just another dig at Tottenham and their stadium fiasco going on this year.
This was a Chelsea coach?
Yeah.
I assume. This is after probably they lost 3-1.
And this one, in my mind, I thought was more... kind of stupid, a little. I mean, you can argue either way, and you'll probably get actually like polarizing kind of opinions on either side. But this was from Alexander Kolarov commenting on football fans, and he said, like, fans have the right to be annoyed. We respect that, but they must be conscious of the fact that they know nothing about football.
Yeah, Alex Ladd.
Yeah.
He's just pissed or something. He's just coming out and saying,
that's like another Lovren right there. Yo, what's with these?
Yeah,
like...
pretty much.
What's with these Slavic footballers
out? Pretty big personalities. but yeah, he just came out and said, like, guys, like, don't criticize us. You know absolutely nothing about football if you're not a professional player. This was a while ago, too, I think, but it was pretty funny. Yeah. Is that interesting?
No, I've got one more, which kind of is a good round out for the end. And this one actually made big news with Ballybrack FC. And they apparently, they claimed before a game that they were reporting the death of one of their players, Fernando Lafuente. And apparently he then, I guess what he did is he instead just went back home. And apparently then he started finding out on news that he was dead, apparently. And I don't know why they did it or what happened for the trend, like where it got lost, the information.
Wait.
But yeah, they claimed that a player was dead when in fact he was not at all.
Is this for an English club?
This was, I'm trying to remember where. I thought it was Ireland.
I think it's Ireland.
Okay, it's still UK.
Yeah,
UK, makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense, I get it.
True. Everyone's pissed there.
Yeah, it happens anyway. All the time. You know what? We accidentally confuse some players being dead on our team when they weren't. Which
he's probably had like a shit night. Happens. Just got pissed drunk.
Yeah. Well, like, I guess he just kind of left. I don't think they allowed him to leave or said he could. He just kind of left. And then I guess he was aware that there was going to be some story as a result on him. But he thought it was going to be him, like, breaking a leg, or maybe he got sick or something like that. But no, they claimed he was dead.
Well, I guess it works, too. Works just as well.
Yeah, and apparently he was just at home playing some video games when, I guess, like, a family member told him, like, oh, you're a celebrity. Like, apparently you're dead.
That's nice.
Anyways,
a nice way to spend your evening.
That caps out our end of the stupid stories of the week. And also caps out the end of this episode, tallying us off.
No. Oh, my mistake. We got our awards.
Oh, the rewards. You true. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
Well, take it away.
Okay, so we'll start on the good award. So let's talk about our golden dude of the week. Who do you guys think deserves this award this year?
Yo,
this
Divock week? Origi. Yo, no. My man.
No.
Actually, Van Dijk for that calculated assist. You know what? It was precise.
All right, are we giving this seriously or are we going to make this a meme?
I want to give it to Oba.
Yeah, that's a pretty good show. I was going to give it to Jordan Pickford for that crazy assist.
Of course.
It was pretty...
I'm not even sure if I can fault him on.
Oba is a good show.
Biggest disgrace.
No, you can definitely fault him.
No, you can definitely fault him. Like,
no, you can definitely fault him.
I don't know. It was such a
man said like a month ago that I'm not gonna make mistakes like Alisson.
Oh man, Liverpool fans love bringing that up, don't they?
What does he do?
Love bringing
precisely that.
Oh god.
You know what? Courtois was right. He does have small hands, and he should have been.
No,
taller.
He said he was short.
He should have been taller. Short.
Fuck Courtois, though. He's a cunt. Anyway.
You're not even on Chelsea. There's no reason for you to be that salty.
I think Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang deserves the golden dude of the week.
Yeah, that's my vote.
Just on fire.
Fair.
So that, congratulations, Aubameyang. You have won our golden dude of the week. You can pick up your award Monday through Friday, 8-2-3. But it's got to be in person. We won't ship it.
I swear, the timings change every week, Tristan.
Hmm?
The timings change every week, it seems like. Where do you come up with this?
Oh.
Depends on his schedule.
Yeah, it depends on my schedule. Hours are never consistent.
True, yeah.
Man's busier than Oba. Like, you know.
Yeah, I guess so.
I got,
time is money.
Yeah, places to be, things to see. And
all right, let's move on to our biggest disgrace of the week, brought to you by Gary Neville. I have someone in mind, but I want to hear what you guys have to say.
Shrikar?
This is Jordan Pickford again.
Okay.
We could give it
to
Jordan.
What about you, Tristan?
Or we could give it to DJ, bro. That guy kind of, you know, fucked it up.
Fair shout. What about you, Tristan?
I was just thinking, kick the man while he's already down, Mark Hughes.
For dropping
Southampton to like third, last, like the bottom.
That's a pretty good show.
Don't worry about him. He's going to be in a job by the end of the season again. I guarantee you, a Premier League club is going to come, probably Burnley, to be honest, if they do shit.
Oh, that's
don't be
sad.
Sorry for him. He'll be back in like no time.
He just got a fucking $6 million.
British
payout.
Clubs always
he's
go for
fine.
The old guys that keep getting fired. I don't understand this,
bro. It's the same three
because
watch
they
Big
do
Sam.
A 2 month good job.
Yeah,
because they do a good job for 2 months, save them from litigation, and next season it's like goodbye.
Yet they
dude,
sign them.
Moyes
for
like
every
or Frederick Allardyce is going to come in to Southampton. I guarantee it. It's going to be Big Sam or Moyes.
Oh my god, it's going
to. You know
happen.
What? I just. You know what? I'm giving it to Mark Hughes as far as I'm concerned, or at least I'd like to.
I really, really wanted to give it to Pogba because he was actually so garbage in the game against Southampton. He gave the ball away 14 times. The entire United team gave the...
I remember that stat.
The United team gave away, 16 times, and he gave the ball away 14 times.
Wasn't it
times.
More than the whole other team or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. He was absolutely atrocious. Yeah. I remember this one moment where like He controlled the ball out of the air, like, so beautifully. He turned around. He did, like, a little trick, and he lost the ball. It summed him up. He just can't do the basics right. And I understand why Mourinho's pissed with him.
Yeah,
it was so
as
bad.
As much as I'd like to kick Mark Hughes while he's down, I think I agree with you, and I'd like to switch mine to Pogba in that case.
Yeah, always happy to give it to United.
Just disgraceful.
No concerns. Okay,
so that sounds good. So, you want to announce it, Tristan?
Sure. The biggest disgrace of the week goes to Paul Pogba for his numerous, basically his aid in helping Southampton get a 2-2 draw in a terrible game for everyone involved, including fans. And again, congratulations. You can come pick up your award between 8 to noon Monday.
Congratulations.
And that is it. So
8 to noon? You just said 8 to 3.
Yeah.
What
happened?
Yeah,
I know. And you went?
Your schedule just changed again.
It's just changed on the fly. But
cool.
That wraps up this podcast episode. God knows what number we...
Number 37.
Thanks, everyone, for listening and or watching, depending on the platform you're on. Don't forget to come to our YouTube channel to subscribe, show us some love, and if you're on the other one, write us a nice review or something like that. Thanks you again for listening, and that should be us signing off. This is Tristan.
And
Shrikar.
And thank you, everyone. This is going to be Football Mezzanine signing off.